to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. I won't ask you to spell it. I'll just ask you to open your Bibles to it. Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible. We'll be in Deuteronomy in chapter 13. Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible, chapter 13. We're going to pick up reading in verse number 6. Read down through verse number 11. Deuteronomy, chapter 13, beginning in verse number 6 down through verse 11. If you found your place there, follow along if you would in your Bible as I read aloud. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse number 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be the first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, it is good to be here on this Sunday morning, and Father, our souls are in need of it. We need this fellowship, God. We need this time together. We need this uplifting spirit. We need this time to sing together and to give praise and glory to you. We need this safe and clean environment, Father, where we don't have to guard our eyes against that which would pollute us or our ears from that which would violate us. But Father, we can relax and enjoy the things of God. And Father, for that we are thankful. Help us, Father, to value and to treasure such things. And now as we come time to preach the Word of God, I pray, Father, that you would go before me. Father, the thoughts, the words that you have put in my heart and mind that, Father, I have jotted down here, I pray, God, you would use them in such a way that I might be a blessing and encouragement to your people that have gathered here this morning. Father, we come with different needs. We've all had different weeks. Father, different experiences and circumstances. And yet, Lord, we have the same God. The same God who is able to comfort, to console, to challenge, Father, to convict. And so, Father, we ask you this morning to speak to our hearts through that which is before us right now. And Lord, we pray especially, should there be one today that has slipped into our midst, that has never truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, never made the most important decision of their life to commit themselves to you. We pray, God, you'd speak to their heart during the course of this message. And the Father, today, they would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The text that I have read in Deuteronomy chapter 13 is pretty harsh. If you have comprehended what we just read, God has told the children of Israel that if any person, whether relative, whether friend, whether neighbor, would entice them to go and serve any other god but the God of Israel, that they were to take him out and they were to stone him, they were to kill him. Now that's pretty harsh. By our estimation, that's pretty violent. And yet the book of Deuteronomy is a recap of the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers. You're reading through your Bible, you read Genesis, and you read the beginning of all things. That's what the word Genesis means, beginnings. And then you get into Exodus, where the children of Israel are in bondage in Egypt. And Exodus takes them from that bondage. The mighty hand of God delivers them through the human instrumentality of Moses and brings them out of Egypt with the 10 plagues that God puts upon that land by a high and mighty hand. He shows Israel His power and His might, and He alone delivers Israel. The climax of those plagues is when He leads them through the Red Sea, dries up the water before them, and as they cross through on dry land, then the Egyptian army comes down and God closes it up and drowns them in the sea. God has shown that He is God. God has shown that He is the only God. He's the most powerful God. He conquered all the gods of the Egyptians. Each of those 10 miracles were a direct effect on one of the gods that the Egyptians worshipped. And yet God showed Himself high and mighty. And then He warned them, as they wandered through the wilderness in the book of Numbers, He warned them that they should not turn away from that God. Because if they ever turned away from that God, God would have to punish them. Now this is a truth that is universal. This is a truth that needs to be understood. That when we violate a commandment, we put ourselves in line to be punished. Whether that commandment be man-made, as speeding limits, or whether it be God-made, as loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. When there is a violation of the commands of God, we cannot blame God when we violate it and God punishes. We cannot blame human government. You can't blame the state highway patrolman when you're going 70 in a 55 and he pulls you over and gives you a ticket for it. The laws, the rules, the regulations are made, and when we violate them, it is no one else's fault. We knew what the code was. We knew what the commandment was. We live in a world today, folks, where folks do not want to bring themselves under any kind of commandment. Anytime we are humanly punished for doing something we ought not do, it is our nature to defend ourselves. It is our nature to blame the authority, to blame the other person, to not own up to it. It is the rare person that owns up to their failures and their faults. Here was a man that had done something God had commanded them not to do. This was not something he just did on a whim or did accidentally. He purposely tried to lead the people of Israel away from the God that saved them and delivered them unto other gods. And notice at the end of the text, verse number 11, and here's what brought this whole thing to my attention. I've told you so many times before that God is an amazing God. His Word's an amazing Word, because when you're reading through the Bible, you'll read something that was not there the last time you read it. Now, I know I'm being facetious when I say that, because that's not possible. But here, I had a different message planned. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I'd announced what I would be preaching on this Sunday, and I'm not preaching on that this morning, because God just arrested my attention with this phrase as I was reading Deuteronomy last week. Reading through my Bible, this phrase popped up, and I saw it two times. And then I realized, as I did some study, it's there seven times. I think God's trying to get our attention. And I want you to see these words that I know, as long as I've been saved and as many times as I read my Bible through, popped out at me this week. They're in verse number 11, where God said, "And all Israel shall hear and fear." Those three words. Hear and fear. God does not punish without previous warning. God does not judge without previous instruction. God has given His Word so that we can hear and we can fear. Look back, if you would, at Deuteronomy chapter... Where's my chapter here? Yeah, it's right back there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. There it is in my notes. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll contain ourselves mainly to the book of Deuteronomy. I'll give you many other references, but as far as our turning, we'll do this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Notice this comes before Deuteronomy chapter 13. All right, that's pretty obvious, but there's a purpose in me saying that. Notice this, Deuteronomy 6. "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whithersoever you go to possess it, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel," notice that verse 3, "hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. God has told the nation of Israel to hear, to listen, that He is the God. He is the Lord. And they are to love Him with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind. The commandment is given. It's explicit. It is clear. There's no black gray area about it. And yet in Deuteronomy chapter 13, somebody violates that direct, clear commandment of God, and then God says they're to be punished for it. And you know what most people do? Blame God. Blame God for enforcing what He told them was going to happen if they broke His commandments. So the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. Jump down in chapter 6 to verse 13. Chapter 6 and verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You understand, they're being told. They are hearing God tell them to fear Him and to not do certain things. And that if they do those things, there is a punishment that is attached to them that is required to happen when they do it. Again, we want to talk about the harshness of God. This is about the laws of God. It's about the commands of God. It's about God's justice and His holiness. Not to worship any of the gods. Hear and learn. Our problem is we don't hear very well. Because you know what we don't do? We don't do? We don't fear. Hear and fear. You know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3? It says about mankind, about society, that there is no fear of God before their eyes. I think you and I can understand that completely as we look at the world and the direction it's going and its sinfulness and its wickedness and its perverseness and what is popular in the world and what is pushed by society and what is pushed by the media. All the stuff that's going on out there that you and I as pure blood-bought Christians and people of faith look at and wonder how in the world can the world go in that direction and accept this stuff and believe this stuff and promote this stuff and push this stuff. And I'm talking about a whole Pandora's box of things. And we look at all that and say, how can they do it? Well, it's obvious there is no fear of God before their eyes. Christian, can I encourage you this morning? Fear God. Hear and fear. Now you say, well, you mean as harsh as He was in Deuteronomy 30? Yes, 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 yes. That's a God to be feared. That's not a God to be trifled with. That's not a God to play with. That's not a God to take and put in some side drawer in your life and say, well, when I need Him, I'll grab Him. When I want Him, I'll come for Him. But when I want to be first, when I want to be foremost, when I want to go, when I want to do, I'll put that first. That's not a God to be messed with like that. The Bible said He is a jealous God. He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. He purchased us with His own blood. And He wants us to fear Him. Now, fear, you know fear in the Bible when it says fear God. It's not talking about walking around in holy horror, just dreading every moment that God in heaven is going to come down and strike you with lightning. That's what it's not what fear is talking about when it tells us to fear God. It's talking about a reverence for Him, a respect, a holy respect for the God that is the supreme ruler of the universe, who controls even the air that comes in and out of your lungs, who can shut that aortic valve or any other valve anytime He wants to. He doesn't need a widow maker to do that. Your very breath, your very heartbeat, everything about you is in the hand of God, and in any moment He can shut it down. Now we don't...
I don't walk around in fear that I'm going to die. But I fear the God who has my life in His hands. Not because I'm afraid of Him, but because I respect Him. Because I know His power and His holiness and His purity. I'm afraid, Christian, that in our day we've got a lot of folks that name the name of Christ that have no fear of God. That verse in Romans 13 is a quote from the book of Psalms that says there is no fear. And it's talking about the wicked. It's talking about unbelievers. It's talking about the unregenerate, the unsaved, the godless. And it says there is no fear of God before their eyes. But I'm afraid we have digressed in our society. And even within Christianity today, that many as believers have no fear of God. Not worried about violating His commandments. Not worried about crossing paths with Him. Not worrying about not doing what He wants us to do. Not worried about doing what He does want us to do. We're just content in our own world, in our own life, without thought of God from day to day, moment to moment. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And God had to tell the children of Israel 7 times in the book of Deuteronomy. And that's the catch here. I didn't realize. 7 times He had to say, hear and fear. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want you to see these. I know it'll take some time and probably eat up most of my message time, but I think it's important for us to hear what God is trying to impress upon this nation. After He has shown His mighty hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt and done what nothing else could possibly do. And then He says, I want you to hear these things, and I want you to learn to fear Me. Deuteronomy chapter 4, look down if you would, verse number 10. Again, Moses in the book of Deuteronomy is recapping Exodus and Numbers. So when you read Deuteronomy, there's no new information. Moses is standing on Mount Horeb getting ready to lead the children of Israel down into the promised land, though he doesn't get to do it. Joshua will do it. He's standing there and he's reminding them of what God done. In verse 10 he says, "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." You see the two words in there? I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me. Hear and fear go together. Why do we come together to hear the Word of God? To get God's instruction. To get His teaching. To know what He wants from us and what He wants to do for us. Folks, you realize we serve the greatest God in the universe. There are other gods, small g. There are other gods out there. But the greatest God is the Lord God, our God. And He wants us to hear His words and learn them and fear Him. To be afraid of crossing Him. To be afraid of backing away from Him. To be afraid of selling out to others instead of Him. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 10. Hear, I will make them to hear my words that they may learn to fear me. We saw that in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse number 11. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Here's a different circumstance, a man doing presumptuously, a man standing in judgment before judges and being condemned for doing wrong, not repenting of it, not accepting the punishment for his wrongdoing. He is doing, as the Bible says, he's doing presumptuously. I like that word. It appears in verse number 12 of Deuteronomy 17. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken to the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. You know why God chose harsh measures to punish those that violated His pre-given commands? So that others might hear and fear. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13,
You need not turn there, but might jot down the reference. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In Ecclesiastes, he had said that judgment fails because judgment is not executed speedily. The law is not enforced. So God enforces the law in Deuteronomy 13 upon one that tried to lead the children of Israel into idolatry. The law is enforced in Deuteronomy chapter 17 from a man that would not submit himself to the rulings of the priests as the law of Moses had commanded them. And he says, I want others, when this happens, to hear and to fear. The world uses that system, but in a perverted way. They want us to fear all kinds of things. They'll be the first ones to say that Christians are fear-mongers because we talk about hell. Fear-mongers because we talk about judgment. Fear-mongers because we talk about the apocalypse and the end of the world. Oh, you shouldn't try to scare people. And then they'll sell climate change and try to get you scared to death that the oceans are rising and the ice caps are melting and the world, that we're destroying this. They play the same game. It's a matter of what you fear. And the Bible says, fear God and keep His commandments. Fear is a great motivator, is it not? Fear is what keeps you from running out in the middle of I-77. Fear is what sensibly keeps you from jumping from a high story of a tall building. Fear is a great motivator. So fear is not a wrong thing. It just needs to be placed in the right position. And the world today fears everything but God. And when they cross God and God performs His justice upon them, God turns into the bad guy. The Bible says we need to hear and fear. Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 7. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 19. God is again, Moses is giving them the commandments of God and talking about His law. And in chapter 19 and verse 20, when the judgment is executed speedily, and those which remain, notice verse 20, shall hear and fear. These same three words connected. They shall hear and fear. There's some things that we hear from the Word of God that ought to cause us to fear. I'm thankful that God is a God of love. And I don't diminish that. It is God's love that sent His Son to Calvary's cross to die for our sins. And we're thankful for His compassion. We're thankful for His tender mercies. They're new every morning, the Bible tells us. We're thankful for those things. But can I remind you, there's another side of God? There is the justice side. There's the love side, but there's the justice side. The reason I believe that most folks that claim to be atheists are motivated to claim that is because they don't want to own up to the fact that there is a God of justice, a God of judgment. And when you hear what the Bible says, it ought to cause a holy reverence. It ought to cause a fear of God. When we are living out of the will of God as a believer in Jesus Christ, we ought to be taking every step of our life in fear. It might not be the fear that God's going to rain down His righteous judgment upon us. You know what? You know what I fear more than God's judgment on my life? And I'm sincere when I say it. You know what I fear more than God's chastisement? Is God withholding His blessings. God wants to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. In your life, God wants to bless you. But when we live contrary to His desires and commandments in our life, God does one of two things. He either chastises us to straighten us out, which we ought to long for if we need it,
or He withholds the blessings. The Bible says about giving a gift to God and giving it but having animosity in your heart, turn away. Don't give that gift until you get straightened out. And it says something along this line that while you're doing that, getting that thing fixed instead of being able to give that sacrifice to God, who knoweth that He will miss out on a blessing. When we're living in that stage of our life where God is speaking to our heart and we're resisting Him, it's not that God might punish us. He's not going to have us get in a car accident. He's not going to drain our bank account. It's not that He's going to chastise us. It's that He will withhold blessings He had intended for us. We need to hear and fear. Look, if you would, over at Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And verse number 21. Again, when God repeats something over and over again, it's to get our attention. He's trying to get the attention of the people of Israel. In verse 21, He's talking about the stubborn son in verse number 20, who's a glutton and a drunkard. In verse 21 it says, "And all the men of this city shall stone him with stones, that he die." Again, I know it's harsh. "So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." God wants us to fear Him. He wants us to hear not just about the love of God, which again, I'm not diminishing at all, but He wants us to hear about the fear of God. And I think the thing that's missing in our day is we're emphasizing one without the other. So many preachers or churches today are preaching this gospel of grace and we are saved by grace. And you know, the worst lie is a half lie. A bold-faced lie you can spot. A half lie is what's difficult. And when they talk about the grace of God, we're gonna go in all the way. We're going to say, yes, absolutely. But you know what they're talking about, the grace of God? They're talking about it permits you to do things that you shouldn't really do, because the grace of God is sufficient to cover for that. And that's a dangerous, anti-biblical teaching. Paul said exactly this. Shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? Paul's addressing that very topic. Shall I continue doing wrong because I know the grace of God will forgive me? Yes, it will forgive you. The grace of God is sufficient. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know what his answer to that was? God forbid. The writer of our New Testament said, God forbid that I should take permission to do wrong and permission to not do right on the basis that God is a good God and a loving God and He'll forgive me anyways. We're forgetting about the justice of God and the judgment of God. And so the Bible has to wake us up and tell us several times, hear and fear. It gives us example of very harsh examples of it. Something beyond our comprehension to shake us and wake us up and get us to realize, well, God doesn't do that anymore in the New Testament. Yes, He doesn't. But He doesn't feel differently when we violate His commands. He doesn't act differently when we violate His commands. It still demands correction. One more verse in Deuteronomy chapter 31. We've looked at six times, Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 17, 19, 21, 31, Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. I said 7, I'm wrong, it's 5. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and that they may fear the Lord your God. Again, that same connection. Hear and fear. We need to hear what the Word of God says about the fear of God. Because God wants men to fear Him.
The unsaved, the unregenerate world will use God as a joke. We use God to lighten the subject. We use His name in vain because there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's why the Bible says that every word spoken will be given accounting of in that day. The oh my gods, the good God man, the expressions that take a holy and righteous name and bring it down to elude society's vocabulary will be given account of one of these days. Again, I've warned you, be careful of the OMGs. Because that's no different than the other ones. That's bringing God, that's bringing a holy, righteous God down to a vernacular that's not fit for Him. He is a just God. We need to hear. We need to fear. When you read your Bible and you read about God's justice upon people that crossed His path of sin, it ought to cause a holy fear in you. When we read about His judgment on people in the Old Testament, the severe judgments that came to pass. When we read about judgment on people in the New Testament, you know, sometimes it's almost as severe. You remember a couple people named Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 who lied to the Holy Ghost. And they dropped dead right there in front of Peter. And the Bible says that the church was filled with fear. There ought to be fear. There ought to be that reverence for God when we see Him dealing with injustice, dealing with unrighteousness, dealing with sin. And it ought to be a motivator in our life to purify our lives. We ought to desire to be holy and just before Him, knowing that He sees everything that we do. We are to fear God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Again, we'll not turn there. We kept our turning for Deuteronomy. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible says this, honor all men, love the brotherhood. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school with Titus. Fear God and honor the King. Fear God. People say, oh no, yeah, I've heard this. Well, you know the word fear not, the term fear not's in the Bible 365 times, one for each day of the year. There's only one problem with that. It's not. It's not in the Bible 365 times. I looked it up. And it's not, I don't think it even hit 100. Now there is fear not in the Bible, and there's some things we should not fear, but when our lives are not right before God, we can't claim the fear not. We've got to look at the fear God. When we're living contrary to His desire and plan for our life, we can't say, fear not. We've got to say, fear God. Christian, we need to learn to fear God. Again, not walking out the doors this morning thinking if we don't have everything, if we don't have every T crossed and every I dotted, that if we walk out the door, God's going to strike us with lightning. No, that's not it. But the desire of knowing that we're not in a right relationship with the God that loved us so much, that He gave His Son to die for our sins, and that we are holding out on Him or holding back on Him or not doing for Him, that ought to cause a fear in us. I've told you the stories before. My dad was not a big man. He was not an angry man, not a bad man. He was a good father, a good dad. But I never wanted to cross him. He was not big. He was about 5'10", 160 pounds. And yet I learned early in my life, you didn't want to make him mad. One time he was sitting on the back porch and we had put the 55-gallon drums out. They had banned burning in the subdivisions there in Livonia, Michigan. They banned the 55-gallon drum burning. And so we had to put it out, and there was a day they were going to come and gather all of them. So we got it out there, and of course it's rusted out and ashes are seeping out the holes on the sides, and it was just enough to get it out to the curb without it collapsing and falling apart. And we thought, well, finally we got it out there. The truck will come and get it. And Dad was sitting up on the porch, and some kid came by on his 10-speed bike, which was a big deal back then, came by on his 10-speed bike and saw that old thing sitting there and decided it'd be fun to kick it over. And so he rode by, and he, with his left foot, he kicked that thing over, and of course it just collapsed. I mean, it was so rusted out, so rotten, and all those ashes in it. He kicked it, and it kind of just collapsed, and the ash dust went up. Dad got a little upset. And that kid on his 10-speed bike just went by thinking, you know, everything was fine and dandy, and turned around and looked, and there was this 40-year-old guy running down the street chasing him, running after him. And the look of panic on his face when he realized somebody was... Yeah, he started pedaling as fast as he could. And my dad ran out there, caught him, brought him back, had him clean all that mess up. I thought, that's a man I'm never crossing. That's a man I think you ever seen the old Rambo movie, John Rambo with Lieutenant Colonel Troutman or whatever? And Lieutenant Colonel Troutman trained Rambo, and he's the little scrawny guy, and Rambo's a big... And I see Colonel Troutman just, I'm with him. Don't mess with me. I'm with him. Here's Rambo standing next to him. I thought that about my dad. I'd go over there and just stand behind him. Any trouble came, I'd stand behind him and let him protect. You know what? I feared my dad. I wasn't scared to death of him. I wasn't afraid of him beating me or mistreating me or anything else. But I knew if I crossed him, he had the ability to make me regret it. I know I've told this. The only other time my dad ever showed any anger, my sister was walking out of Sears, him and my young sister, and a guy came whipping around the corner in one of those little tiny sports cars and almost hit my sister by the story I've heard. And he grabbed Lisa and yanked her back out of the way and yelled at the car, "Watch where you're going." And the car screeched on the brakes, and this big old college guy got out of this little tiny car. He got out and he said, "Who you talking to, old man?" And my dad said, "Watch who you're calling old man." And he said, "I'm talking to you, old man." That was not a smart move. The next thing they knew, and this is the story I got, and it was verified by more than one witness, I wasn't there, that the guys that worked in the auto mechanics part that changed the tires and the oils and all that came running out and got that guy out of the dumpster. 160-pound, 5'10" guy had gotten that kid and put him in the dumpster. And as far as I know, that's a true story. I'm not just preaching. I'm not making that up. And I learned, that's a guy I'm not going to cross. Now again, I'm giving that illustration. That's my earthly father. I was not afraid of him, as it were, a day of my life. I wasn't worried about him flying off the handle or mistreating me or doing anything. I was afraid to cross him. I was afraid to do something that he told me not to do, or to not do something he told me to do. I did it most of the time. I did it because I feared the punishment he could give. You understand how our fear of God's supposed to be? It's like a loving, concerned Heavenly Father. And when he tells us, here's what I want you to do. Here's how I want you to live. Here's how I want you to conduct yourself. And we say no to him. You ought to fear God. When he said, "I don't want you doing this, and I don't want you doing that, and I don't want you putting this off, and I don't want you," and we purposely say, "Well, Lord, I know, but," we ought to fear God. Because the Bible tells us to fear him. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, Christian, we ought to fear God. Proverbs 1, 7, you know the verse, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." You don't know anything until you learn to fear God. Years ago, there was a bumper sticker that became very popular. And it said, "No fear. No fear." How foolish. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1933 gave a great quote that, in my opinion, was just really worthless. In the middle of the Depression, 1929 to 1939. In 1933, he said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." And you've all heard that quote. You know, when you really examine that quote, it's really silly. Because that's not true. He said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." You know, the Depression went on another 6 years after that. There was something to fear there. There is times that we ought to fear. And if we go to the world for their estimation, modern psychology, well, you know, you should fear this and fear that, but not fear this and not fear that. No, number one, you know where the beginning of knowledge is? It's to fear God. And if somebody doesn't fear God, it doesn't matter what else they fear or don't fear. They haven't learned anything yet. You need to learn to fear God. It's the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Christian, we need to learn to fear God. I've said some of these things, I get ahead of myself in my notes, so... How can we not fear God? 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Have you ever been doing something, watching something, listening to something, and all of a sudden it dawns on you, God's watching me. Nobody else is. Nobody else knows. Nobody else sees. Nobody else hears. But God is. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, reminding you that you know what's right. And you know what's holy. You know what's just. You know what's pure. And the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. There's never a moment He's not watching. Never a moment He doesn't see. And we need to hear and fear. Turn it off. Stop watching. Stop listening. Stop doing. Stop going. Whatever it is, stop. And show the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 15 verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. His eyes are in every place, seeing everything. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Isn't that a God that should be feared? Isn't that a God that deserves our holy reverence, our attention, to be first place, to be number one, to be the center of our life? That God should be right there. But I'm afraid, in my life and in our lives, many times, do I dare say most of the time, we're not living in a fear of God. We're more afraid of what someone else will think, what someone else will say, how someone else might react, than how we are about God, whose eyes run to and fro and behold everything. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt hear and fear. As a Christian, we need to learn to fear God. The unbelieving world, there is no fear of God before their eyes. You know how you know that? Because God has given them complete, clear instruction. And they don't fear it. You know, as those judgments that happen in Deuteronomy, as harsh as they might seem, God gave the commandment, told them the punishment if they violate it, and then fulfilled it when they did. God was consistent in His judgment. We may not comprehend it or understand it or appreciate it, but God is consistent in His judgment. He said, hear this. Two of the places, learn it. And He said, fear. The world today knows what's coming down the line. They've got it spelled out in the Word of God. They can't miss it. They can read the Gospel of Luke about the rich man and Lazarus. They can read about that rich man dying and being cast into hell. And in torment, lifting up his eyes and crying out for Abraham to send Lazarus with a drop of water on his fingertip to cool his tongue in that flame because he's tormented. They can read about that event 2,000 years ago. They can hear about that happened 2,000 years ago, and yet they just bypass it and don't fear. And when that judgment comes to pass, people say, well, isn't God harsh? No. He gave the command. He gave the penalty for breaking that command. And He also gave a remedy for that command by sending His Son to die on Calvary's cross. God has done all He can possibly do to help mankind out. And yet man does not fear Him and ends up in hell. And I saw the small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. And the dead were judged out of those books. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. You know, that's been recorded since 90 AD. That's been in the Bible, the best-selling book of all time, for 2,000 years. And the world cannot say, we've never heard it. We didn't know about it. God didn't warn us. No, no, you've been told. There is a judgment, and you're going to stand before God, suspended in space, after the heavens and the earth have rolled away, melted with a fervent heat. You will stand suspended in space before a holy and righteous God, one whose eyes are like as fire and his face is brass. And you'll stand in judgment before Him, and your name will not be found in the book of life because you've not put your faith and trust in Christ. And He'll say, depart from Me, accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It's all written right here. Here. H-E-A-R. Here. And fear. And yet folks ignore it and don't listen to it and don't fear and will face the harshness of that judgment. You say, back there in Deuteronomy, that was harsh. Well, yes, it was. But you know what's just as harsh? A lake of fire for all eternity. I don't claim to understand everything in the Bible, but I do believe everything in the Bible. People say, how could a loving God send people to hell? Because He's also a God of justice. He has said it. He's declared it. You have heard it. You've heard it time and time again. It's been preached, it's been proclaimed, it's been explained. And yet people don't fear God. You can't blame God when that day of judgment comes. Those that knocked on the door of the ark after it was shut could not blame anybody but themselves. Noah had been preaching for 120 years. They had heard it, but they didn't fear. They mocked. They ridiculed. They made fun of Noah and his sons and those building that ark out in that dry area, that dry land. There's never going to be enough water there to float a boat. And they mocked and ridiculed him until the rain began to fall. Then they came knocking on the door, but it was too late. They'd heard, but they didn't fear. Christian, don't be like that. Hear. Hear the commands of God. Hear what God says. Hear God's plan for your life. Hear God's direction for your life. And fear God enough to do it. Don't live in violation of Him. Don't live crossing Him. Submit to Him in every area of your life. If you're an unbeliever without Christ in your life, God have mercy on you. He's done everything He can to warn you of the judgment to come. You need to hear and you need to fear. You need to fear the Lord because it's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. And until you do that, you don't do anything. Until you know the fear of the Lord, you don't know anything. I don't care if you're Albert Einstein. He knew everything about numbers and this thing. His IQ was over 160. But he died without God. He died faithless. He died an agnostic. And according to the Word of God, he's in that place where the torment rises. That's not a man that knew anything. Stephen Hawking, the others that were so intelligent in this life, knew absolutely nothing. Don't follow them. Hear, H-E-A-R, hear and fear. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.